Tide 8. Well, I had some people that I happen to know that I wanted to ask you about, but it should really be your choice of who's important.
Go ahead. Sorry.
A.S. Carter.
Carter was a good friend, good personal friend of mine, very, very good, solid, well-organized, not imaginative kind of fella. Very capable, very, very good judgment, actually. Mm-hmm.
He was in the neoprene development.
Nick was a fine chemist. He was responsible for the development of the synthesis of monovinyl acetylene, which Newland had never had. And in a sense, Arnold Collins snatched neoprene right out from under Carter's nose.
Oh, really?
Because Nick was fiddling around with the chemistry of monovinyl acetylene, which may have been Bolton's responsibility, telling those guys to go after it, you know. But Nick was a good chemist, extremely well organized, and very effective, and imbued with the same general philosophy that I tried to expound of getting a maximum done by the individual chemist, hopefully with the minimum direction.
I see. Dr. Harold Ellie?
He was our research director when I worked over in Orchem from 45 till 56 when he retired, had been for a while before that. Was very highly respected by his colleagues and very popular with his people. Harold was a gentle soul. I don't know if he was a good chemist or not. I never had any feeling for Harold from the technical sense. His practical sense was pretty good. He was unusually able to listen to his people. And come up with, after listening to a bunch of things, come up with a rather excellent, balanced judgment. Very typical of Harold is something he did in connection with the Teflon development. Teflon had been discovered by Plunkett, and the people at Jackson Laboratory set out to try to get the polymerization that had occurred adventitiously for Plunkett under control. They had no experience with that kind of polymerization or anything other really than a polychloroprene or analogous polymerization, and no conception of how sensitive the polymerization of a fluoroolefin was to chain terminators and all kinds of other things. But in any case, they never got anywhere. They were trying hard to get somewhere. And Harold took a look at that situation after about a year and a half and saw what was going on. And of his own, he decided he was going to ask Central Research to take on the project. And he went over to Elmer Bolton, sat down and told him he wanted him to take hold of that job and see what he could make of it. His judgment said, "The hell with my pride, let's do this right."
That's not really the territorial imperative. That
No. Harold's a good man.
Yeah. George Holbrook?
Oh, George. George was a very unusual man. George, bright, vigorous, PhD chemical engineer, technically quite able. But George was a man of different ideas. George was one who would see in a situation things that other people didn't see. He was a highly original character, very good in handling people. A star sort of character. I think a bit frustrated when he got up on the executive committee, because George was a nonconformist and he was surrounded by a pack of conformists.
I see. But maybe you heard Holbrook's comment to Rudy Paris there, or another, that Holbrook said that he had expected as he rose in the company that he would find that people were smarter, and this proved not to be true.
No. He got the same distribution all the way up. That's what I was trying to imply when I said that about the research directors. It applies to people on the committee and vice presidents.
There are some real personalities at Jackson Laboratory. I don't know whether you want to comment about them, because they may not be significant people. Fritjof Zobar.
Oh, yeah. Well, Fritjof was extraordinary. I don't think it is appropriate to comment, but Fritjof was an extraordinary man, a seething mass of ideas. He didn't have any idea what was good or bad, but a seething mass of ideas, and a hell of a lot of fun to work with.
Vic Weimar, in the same category?
And not nowhere near as many ideas, but lots, and very capable man. Vic had nimble fingers. He could make things happen, and accomplished lots.
Well, if you have some other department colleagues or that you have in mind listening, you might go on to the consultants.
Other colleagues, let me. I'll come back. I'll think that over. You want to talk about consultants? Let's. We talked a little about Feaser, didn't we?
Yes. D. Roberts, we discussed it much, but didn't get
the
tape.
Okay, well, Roberts I hired for us because I was unable to get Paul Bartlett, as I told you, because Paul had a commitment he thought was a matter of honor with PPG. And he suggested Roberts, and so I went up to Tech and interviewed Roberts and got him to come. Roberts was a very interesting consultant, an extremely good man, very bright. He was good for the management because they were more used to taking the kind of character that Jack was, which was sort of abrasive and very difficult with the scientists, because he had a bit of a tendency to try to put people down. And unless you were a vigorous infighter, you didn't like Jack. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a.
I like Jack very much, but. You had to be hardened and calloused and tough to handle that guy.
First time I encountered him, I think if Bill Remington hadn't been in the room, might have been sort of stomped on and down the drain, because he was very blunt.
He's ferocious.
Yeah. How about Melvin Calvin?
Oh, Calvin was magnificent.
Yeah.
Calvin was one of my very favorite consultants. I loved him. The people loved him. Calvin had the ability to stimulate people, to talk with them about their problems, to evoke from them the ideas they had, and to get them to think. You know, to get them to think so that in most cases they'd solve their own problem. He greeted what he got from them with enthusiasm, even if it was junk, and then he would gently straighten it out. So he was extremely popular. We could have used four times as much time as Calvin would ever give us. And the only reason the consultantship was terminated is that Monsanto put him on their board of directors, and he had to withdraw.
Oh, I see. I understood he got terribly busy.
Well, that, yeah, but is there a direct conflict?
Yeah. Did you have anything to do with hiring Buck Rogers?
No. No, we had... those fellows were hired. There was Hume and Rogers,
mm-hmm.
both from MIT, and I had nothing to do with hiring them. They were both interesting consultants. Rogers was by far the better.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure that he was better scientifically, I don't know, but in this interrelation, you know, it's not my field, but in this interrelationship with people in the analytical division and elsewhere, Rogers was 10 times as good as Hume.
Yeah, well, he was, I agree with that entirely. He was inspiring.
And, yeah.
And extremely competent.
We got, it got to the point where Rogers and Hume got split, mm-hmm. and we unfortunately, we rolled a 7 and got Hume,
mm-hmm.
which in due course we had to terminate that
yeah.
one. Yeah.
I think it was Wilfred Heller that we mentioned earlier.
Carter hired Heller.
And he was, I don't know, I might say something about him. I think he's not as nationally well-known or scientifically well-known, perhaps.
You might say what Heller was really good at in here, but Heller was a fine consultant for specific problems that dealt with polymerization, the behavior of dispersions, the physical chemistry of polymerization. And those people who needed him liked him very much, mm-hmm. as far as I know.
Yeah. Fred Wall was, I think, one of the most impressive consultants I ever had.
I used Fred a little bit when I was at the in Central Research. Not much, but I like Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Of the consultants they had at Central Research, the ones I used Roger Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Roger used to come around and see me because I was one of the few who was practicing the sort of organic chemistry that Roger liked. So he'd always come around, whether I asked for him or not. We always enjoyed it. I always liked him. Marvel, I didn't use. Roger was magnificent. You don't need any more on him. Marvel was very good. I didn't use Marvel much, not because I didn't like him. I just didn't have occasion to. Wall, I did use. I used Emmett Reed, and that was mainly because Reed needed somebody to use him. And I was playing for a while with some sulfur chemistry, about which Reed knew a fair amount. That was to help the management take care of Reed. Who else did we have? We're trying to remember somebody.
Let's see, Bud Adams. He was. From Kansas, he was one I consulted on.
He was quite good.
Spectroscopy.
I don't know him, but he was quite good.
He was the only consultant I ever had who would go back to his lab or go at the library and look up something and write you a little letter.
Yeah, yeah.
That you had consulted on.
Yeah.
And usually helpful.
Yeah. I never used him, but the reports we got from our people were that he was very fine. One I used some myself at the when I was in Central Research was Lord, MIT.
Yes.
Infrared. He was very good.
Mm-hmm.
Enthusiastic coot.
Yeah.
Lot of fun. I didn't have much to do with infrared, but every once in a while I'd get into a problem and I'd get a hold of him, and he was good.
Yes, I used him and enjoyed him. Got to be personal friend, actually.
I used Flory a little, but not much. Herman Mark a little, but not Herman Mark. You know, these people are well known. You don't need anything.
Yeah. Well, let's go on to your subsequent career, your consulting career. How did you get hooked up with the Metropolitan Museum of Art?
That was Harold Quart did that to me. The Metropolitan was try to hire a chemist to run their conservation work. And Harold came in to me one day when I was working with DuPont and asked me if I could help him. And I said, but Harold, why would a chemist want to work for the Metropolitan Museum? They can't offer a good chemist any kind of future. They can't, you know.
Yeah, of
course. So I explained this to Harold. He says, well, they never thought of it that way, neither did I. And he said, would you mind talking with them about that? So I said, no, I'm going to retire in a few months. When I'm retired, I'll go up there with you and we'll talk to him. So about 2 days after I retired, I was up at the Metropolitan talking with the people at the museum and explaining them why only a dunderhead of a chemist would work for him. And they said, and they took me around, showed me the place, and then they left and they came back and said, would you like to do it? And I said, I don't want to work at being a chemist. I'm not really capable of being a chemist anymore. I'm a dinosaur, having been out of the lab so long. And I said, but no, then they offered me this job of trying to set up an organization for them and hire some people. And I said, well, I didn't really want to work full-time, but I'd be willing to consult with them. Mm-hmm. So I made a deal with them to spend 2 days a week on the average for a year, and I had it terminated a year because I think when you hire a consultant, it shouldn't be renewed except by mutual consent. Mm-hmm. Having had some experience trying to get rid of some that didn't work, I was convinced that both sides ought to have an escape clause here so that it wouldn't be embarrassing, you know. So I set out to work to set up a scientific organization for the Metropolitan, and as I took a look at what was going on in the outside world of art and with their scientific people, and visited some universities such as New York State University School of Fine Arts and New York NYU, not the State University, and the State University up at Cooperstown. I got a pretty good feel from that and some organizations in Europe I visited as to what they needed. But then as I talked with the Metropolitan, I found that they didn't really want to support the kind of thing that they said they wanted to support. Really, all they wanted to do was say they had me and use me for show. So I hired them a sort of a peon, a nice fellow who was very interested in art, and as soon as I could, I quit. But then in the course of doing that, I got into doing some work with the Smithsonian and with Winterthur on scientific advisory committees, and those places were much more responsive to much more objective and sensible about the use of science for art conservation restoration purposes.
I had some really enjoyable interactions with Dick Hansen.
Oh yeah, he was lovely.
And the understick things he was doing, and enthusiasm he had.
Yeah.
I used to take visiting European scientists. So
yeah.
Dick was so much around.
Yeah. Well, he really enjoyed playing with his X-ray.
Yeah.
Excitation of various elements and seeing what was in the various artifacts that the Winterthur was playing with. He's a very good man.
Yeah, he was. Did he ever tell you this story about the lead chromate in the U.S. currency?
Yeah. That was fascinating.
That never got in print, I guess.
No, I don't think so.
He couldn't get any of the papers to pick it up. And, I don't know whether he backed off of writing it up or not.
He had written it, but I don't know whether he published it, because he sent me a copy of what he put together. I'll look around, see if I have it. If I have it, I'll give it to you.
Sorry, because it happened to meet him on the train. I was on the train with him going down to a meeting in Washington.
Yeah.
He told me that whole story. I thought it was hilarious.
I got into some outside consulting. This came at me kind of like rain. And I've done some for a couple of companies on patent cases or suits. I've also done some just general advising on business situations and on polymer chemistry. Companies like BorgWarner, Alice Chalmers for Seals, outfit that... what is the Chicago Rawhide? That's CR Industries. Exxon. I found that many companies just wanted to use me as a way to get at DuPont technology, so I couldn't touch them. Exxon was extraordinarily clean. They wanted me for a special situation. Basically, they want information to tell them where they should go into a particular business, buy a company, and they could not have been more ethical than this.
You think the companies you dealt with were in general ethical?
Yeah, with the ones I dealt with were all fine. I filtered them. You can sort of tell when they. When they go at you, whether they're after boudoir type information or whether it's clean information they want.
Well, let's see. We have a list of other activities you were in. How did you get involved in the school board out at Chester?
I made a terrible mistake. I went to a PTA meeting. And it was a terrible mess. And I made a comment. As they were going along, I made a kind of a nasty comment. And they thanked me very much. And after the school board was over, meeting was over, one of them came up to me and said, "We have made you a member of our executive committee."
The PTA.
And I did that for about a month, and I said, I had to get out of this. And they said, "Well, we want to run you for the school board. This is up in Chester County. There's a character we got to get off of the school board because he will not let us make any progress." And this was interesting. This was Chris Sanderson, who was a local hero for his. Attempt to preserve the culture of 50 years ago or 100 years ago, and he ran square dances and had a little museum. He was the local character. But his idea of education was as it was given in 1980. So... 1880, yeah. Anyway, there were enough people, not farmers... and local Chester County people in that district by then, so that after a very heated campaign, in which I did nothing, I got elected.
How did you find time? Was it four children and all your...
Oh, it wasn't too bad. Uh-huh. It's an evening kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I was on the school board for 6 years and then didn't want to run. Again, I learned by then that the system had so much inertia that there wasn't much point in fiddling with it. And I also learned that there was no way you could get those schools improved to the point where they were good enough. So I took my four kids out of the school system and sent them to Tower Hill.
Oh,
So that was one valuable. Yeah, you know, whether you think it's proper to send kids to public school or not, you do get concerned about your own kids. You want them to get a decent education. You had a pretty good in the district where you are, Delaware.
Yeah, they were bright folks, and although we took our daughter and put her in Tower Hill Climate. Brett Wilson went through the same thing with this kid.
Did he?
It was interesting because it was philosophically difficult for him to do.
Pushed for me too.
He just couldn't tolerate Cambridge City schools.
Well, that's what happened apparently with my parents and me.
Yeah.
So that's how I happened to get into that private school.
Mm-hmm.
You just conclude that the kid won't get what you want it to get. Even if you want him in a public school, he won't get it.
Right. Any of your professional society activities that you want to comment about? I know you're a member of several societies, but I didn't know you were ever really active as an officer.
Well, I was a alternate counselor or something with the local section of the Delaware ACS, didn't do much other than what was required. Really wasn't too interested, didn't have time to spend on that kind of activity. I did get fairly active in the Institute of Synthetic Rubber Producers. I ran their research committee for about 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Basically try to get them organized.
Mm-hmm.
And that was worthwhile from the time standpoint because we were trying to get a coherent approach to certain problems, technical problems that were common throughout the industry. Measuring standards, reporting standards, this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I worked also quite actively in the Industrial Research Institute. This is a collection of what I call broken down research directors, IRI. But I worked on their award committee setting up an award for technical excellence rather than management excellence, which still persists, and was on their academic liaison group for quite some time. And ran a couple of meetings for them. That was worthwhile because it got me to meet research directors of other companies in which I was interested, and you get to know these people much better if you work on committees with them. This is true of the rubber one and also the Industrial Research Institute. You get to know them as friends and the way they think. Whereas if you just see them in meetings, they're just people.
Do you find in general that these other research directors and companies had significantly different research philosophies?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Some of them startlingly different.
Mm-hmm.
There was a small group of people who were really interested in research, people like Bruce Hannay of Bell Labs, Art Vicky, whoever it was, of GE,
mm-hmm.
That varied. You know the companies,
mm-hmm.
and those people really were interested in research and trying to do a good job. And in many other cases, it was primarily development. The technical side of commercial greed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really caught in the businesses. They were slaves to their businesses. You could count on 10 fingers the ones who were in the IRI, the ones that really were interested in research. And in the Institute of Synthetic Rubber Producers, it was maybe 3, counting DuPont. One of whom was Bayer.
Uh-huh. You've spent a lot of time for the Harvard Club and Harvard University, I think.
Yeah.
You were on the visiting committee to Harvard, was it? Is that where you got involved?
Three terms.
Three terms.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was before, actually, before that, when I worked for, in Orchem, as assistant director, we had a vigorous recruiting policy, and we're trying to be as independent from central personnel as possible. And the way we did it is we sent emissaries out to universities to get acquainted with them, not to hire, but to get acquainted. And I used to go out and give talks about our research. And I did this. My schools were Harvard, MIT, Cornell, Princeton, Columbia, Wisconsin, and when Carter retired, Stanford, Washington, Berkeley, Caltech, and UCLA, good schools. Mm-hmm. And the real purpose here is to let these schools know the character of your research. It's up to them to judge whether it's good or bad, but you try to let them know the character of your research, and of course you try to get to know the people. And if they know the character of your research and they know you, then you can talk with them about a man who happened to work with them when that man happens to come in a piece of paper that says, here is Joe Ferguson. What's Joe like, you know? And it helps hiring a good staff. And also, it avoids misfits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that you don't have some unpleasant experiences.
Does the visiting committee have an impact on faculty selections and so on in the chemistry department at Harvard?
Not much.